After an interruption of a few years, I'm going back to a topic that I would say that I love very much, especially since I have new insights to share with you. In all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Yerushalayim is referred to twice. Only twice. And the two places that Yerushalayim is referred to are in Sefer Bereishit. One was in Parshat Lech Lecha, and one is in Parshat Vayera. One in last week's Sedra, and one in this week's Sedra. And the central figure in both of them is Avraham Avinu. In Sefer Devarim, Yerushalayim is going to be referred to in a very esoteric way. Yerushalayim is going to be referred to more than 20 times as Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokeichem L'Shakem Shmo Shem, the place that God will choose that His name shall dwell and rest. And we once discussed why Yerushalayim is not mentioned by name over there. There is a Rambam in the Guide for the Perplexed, the Moreh Nevuchim, where the Rambam gives a number of reasons why Yerushalayim is not referred to by name. Some of them are basically because he did not want the nations of the world to know that Yerushalayim is destined to be the capital, because then the resistance that they would put up in order to make certain that that city, or to attempt to make certain that the city is not going to be captured, is going to cost many Jewish lives. He also wanted to avoid the possibility of a struggle of some sort between the tribes. Who is it that will have Yerushalayim in his nakla, in his inheritance? There was also fear, the Rambam says, that if the nations of the world would see that they're incapable of holding on to Yerushalayim and it's going to fall into the hands of the Jewish people, they would destroy the city utterly. So for those and other reasons, the Rambam says, Torah never said very clearly, Torah never said that Yerushalayim is the place where the capital, the eternal capital of the Jewish people is going to be. But it is referred to twice, as we say in Sefer Bereishit, one in Parshat Lech Lecha and one in Parshat Vayera. We'll take a look first at how and when and under what circumstances it appears in Parshat Lech Lecha, last week's Parsha. You have it, there it is on the first side of our sheet, Parshat Lech Lecha. Avraham goes out to battle because he hears that his nephew Lot has been captured. He goes out to battle against the four great kings and he defeats them. He brought back all of the possessions, and also his brother, his mishpucha Lot, and his possessions he brought back. The women and the people. Now watch these psukim. Vayetzei melech Sedom l'krato, the king of Sedom came out toward him. Acharei shuvo mehakotet kedor laomer, after he returned from having smitten kedor laomer, v'et hamalachim asher ito, the kings were with him. El emek shaver, to the plain. Hu emek hamelech, the valley of the king. Now, watch what's happening over here. The first thing is we're told that the king of Sodom is coming out toward him and they're going to meet someplace. But we haven't been told, well, what happens when they meet? There's an interruption. All of a sudden, the Torah text interrupts with telling us that Malki Tzedek, Melech Sholem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Sholem, Hotzi Lechem Voyayin, he brought out bread and wine, who Kohen, and he was a priest, Le'el Elyon, to the Almighty, the God on high. Now, with regard to the king of Sodom, it tells us that he went out to Avram. It doesn't tell us Vayetzei Malki Tzedek Melech Sodom, Malki Tzedek, king of Sodom, came out. All of a sudden, Malki Tzedek appears without any introduction. Chazal tell us that Malki Tzedek is Shem, the son of Noah. Sholem is the city, Yerushalayim. And we will talk about the name and add things that we have not said in the past. So here all of a sudden there's an interruption. The king of Sodom has come, but we don't know what the king of Sodom wants. Meanwhile, Malki Tzedek, king of Sholem, brought out bread and wine, and he is a priest to the Almighty God. Vayivorachehu, and he blessed him, Vayomer, and he said, Baruch Avram l'keil elyon, blessed is Avram to the Almighty God, Konei Shemayim v'aretz, who made and acquired, and to him belongs heaven and earth. Baruch elyon, and blessed is that Almighty God, Hashem migein sorecho biyadecho, who has given over your oppressors into your hands. Vayitei lo masa mikol, here there is a switch. We're not talking about Malki Tzedek now, but Avram gives Meiser a tenth of what he has, he gives to Malki Tzedek, because Malki Tzedek serves as Kohen. And in a sense, Avram is doing what is later going to become part of the service for the Jewish people and in Yerushalayim. Now, after the interruption of the few psukim with Malki Tzedek, who we don't even know where he came from, now we go back to what was really the real story, which is the Melech Sodom. Vayomer Melech Sodom al Avram, the king of Sodom said to Avram, Ten li hanefesh, give me the souls, v'harachush kachor, take all of the possessions. Vayomer Avram and Melech Sodom, Avram said to the king of Sodom, Hadimoti Yadi al Hashem Kelayon, I have raised my hand. And Rashi explains that he's taking an oath right now. Hadimoti Yadi, I am lifting my hand in an oath to God El Elyon, Kanei Shemayim V'aretz, in Michut Vatzroch now. I'm not going to take anything from a thread or a shoelace. V'imekach Mikol HaShaloch, to take anything that was yours. V'lo Tomar, you shouldn't say, Ani he'esharti et Avram, I made Avram rich. By the way, these words are, I'd say that these are unkind, cutting, biting words. And look, what does he want from Melech Sodom? Biladai rak asher aklu hanarim, he says, except for that which my associates, my allies who came, didn't really come with me to battle Avram, went out himself. But what was necessary for my allies who watched the background, the chelak hanoshim asher hoku iti, and the share of the people who went with me, oner eshkul umande, hem yikud chelkam, they will take their share. But I don't want anything. It would seem from the structure of these psukim that the real story over here is Melech Sodom, the king of Sodom. That's why it says that the king of Sodom came out toward him, and it tells us where the king of Sodom met him. And then there's the interruption in the middle about the story of Malki Tzedek, Melech Sholem, which is not introduced, as we said, it's not introduced by he went out and he met him and where he met him. All of a sudden, it seems that in the middle of the story we have Malki Tzedek, Melech Sholem, and then we go back to what's the real act, and the real act is the story of Avram and Melech Sodom. Malki Tzedek, as we said, is Shem, the son of Noach, who is the king of Yerushalayim. The king of Yerushalayim. Alright. The fact is that Melech Sodom is the main act over here. And it's a very interesting act. Because first of all, if one is to look at it from a legal point of view, this man, the king of Sodom, is making a deal. He's making a very funny deal with Avram. King Sodom says, listen, you know what? I'll take the souls, and you know what I'm ready to do for you, Avram? I'm ready to give you all of the wealth and the possessions. You can have that. Now, to whom does that wealth belong, by the way? To whom does it belong? It had been captured in battle. He had given up all hope of ever getting it back. It doesn't really belong to him. Do you know what he's ready to do? He's ready to give Avram something that doesn't even belong to him. And you know what? To leave Avraham with the impression how magnanimous he is. You understand? You make deals about something that's not yours to begin with. What's happening over here is the following. This fellow, Melech Sodom, thinks that he can cut a sharp deal over here. There's nothing that belongs to him. He is nothing. He has become nothing. Everything has been taken from him. But he presents it as, you know, Avram, I'm giving you an offer you can't refuse. I mean, you'll never get another deal like this. The fact is that Avram could have told him that you should know both in international law and in halacha, nothing here belongs to you. But you know what Torah wants to present us with here? This story is necessary not only for the story. What the Torah is presenting here before Avraham, the two, the symbol of peace and evil. Melchizedek Melech Shalem is peace, goodness. Melech Sodom and Melech Amora, their names are Bera, that he is Ra, Birsha, he is a Rasha. We see evil, absolute evil, and good standing side by side in the presence of Avraham. Melech Sodom is brought into Melech Sodom is brought into the story over here to be the contrast, the sharp contrast, in order to see evil and perceive evil fully. You need to see evil standing side by side with good. I believe he once mentioned in a shir of Rav Soloveitchik, that his Hasidut Rav, he said that the purpose of the Jewish people going down to Egypt was that in Egypt they would come face to face with absolute evil. And only by coming face to face with absolute evil would a rejection of evil become part of the Jewish consciousness. Not only to come face to face with it, but to suffer from it. And he says, just as in order to truly distinguish colors, you have to hold the two of them up against one another. Go try and figure out the difference between black and dark blue. It can be sugar. I have to put a note on my suit to know which one is black and which one is blue. Because there are moments at which evil can even present the face of being good. Melech Sodom says, magnanimous, what an offer. You did a great thing for me, Avraham. Take all of the possessions. The rechush is all yours. By the way, the rechush of the people of Sodom was most probably in and of itself the fruit of evil. Avraham being sees before him evil, absolute abject evil, and goodness. And Avraham, of course, is going to make a choice. And the choice is going to be a very, very clear one. And he's going to be extremely sharp, cutting and biting about it. Because Avraham Avinu has learned one thing, and there's one thing more than any other that is going to single him out from all men upon the face of this earth. And that is that Avraham is fully and totally devoted to the redemption, God himself. He will not, under any circumstances, want to accept upon himself any debt of any sort to any man. If he accepts the wealth of Sodom, he is in a sense indebted to the king of stone. He's indebted to evil. He'll never be indebted to evil. More than that, he could even have told the king of stone, listen, Don't try to sell me the same thing all over again. We know you're Yerushalayim. You're giving me something by giving me this wealth. It's not yours. You lost it. You lost possession of it. It's not yours. It's mine legally. And Avraham Avinu doesn't even want to leave the impression to the world that he is in any way going to be indebted to, subservient to the King of Stone. Nothing. Nothing. His hands will be completely clean of Sodom. So what emerges from this meeting, confrontation between the two, Avraham has seen, he has come face to face with absolute abject evil, and he sees it, he sees the two of them, Melech Tzedakah and Malki Tzedek. Oh boy, what a pair these two fellows are. They are as far from one another as east is from west. And Avraham knows precisely where he stands. Alright, that's the first. Avraham, you know, is going to come face to face with Yerushalayim a second time. That second time, of course, is going to be in Parashat Vayera, where, by the way, he's going to come face to face with Sodom again at the beginning of the Seder, where he's going to pray for Sodom, and then he's going to see the absolute and total destruction of evil before his very eyes. But he's going to make, and I'm not even sure if I can say a second journey. When Avraham meets with Malki Tzedek, king of Yerushalayim, it's not in Yerushalayim. There's some place out there in Emet HaMelech, Emet Shavah. It doesn't seem that the meeting takes place in Yerushalayim. But all that happens is the representative of Yerushalayim, the one who represents what Yerushalayim is, Tzedek, Mishpat. That's when he meets up with. The one time that we know he's going to make it to Yerushalayim is when Hashem tells him, take your one and only son, Yitzchak, and bring him as a sacrifice. And where is he going to journey to? God is going to lead him to Eretz HaModia, the land of Modia. That Eretz HaModia is Har HaBayit. There we know that Avraham Avinu finally arrives at Har HaBayit. He's been in Eretz Yisrael for years. He's been in Shechem, he's been in Beit El, he's been in Elon Moreh, he's been in Beersheba, he's been in Hebron. But he does not come to Yerushalayim until the end of the 10 tests. In a sense, it's going to be very similar to what's going to happen to his children when they enter Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua. Until they finally make it to Har HaMoriah, 350 to 400 years are going to pass. They will conquer many parts of Eretz Israel. They're even going to conquer Yerushalayim proper. But the old city, Ir HaYebusi, is not going to be conquered until the days of David. Now, what's also going to be interesting is the following. Just as there are two meetings between Avraham and Yerushalayim, one is with Malki Tzedek, who represents Yerushalayim, and the other is Har HaMoriah. The conquest and the remaking of Yerushalayim is going to require two people. It's going to be David and Shlomo. David is going to conquer the old city. He's going to purchase the Temple Mount. He's going to purchase the Temple Mount, but he will not yet build the Beit HaMikdash there. The one who's going to build the Beit HaMikdash is going to be Shlomo. And as Torah, the Navi points out, Hashem tells David HaMelech, you will not be able to build it because Dam L'Rov Shafachta, you spilled much blood. You see, David is going to be the man of Mishpat and Tzedek, but he's not the man of Shalom. We're going to see that there are going to be two aspects to Yerushalayim. And these two aspects are completed by Malki Tzedek and Avraham. And the two, Yerushalayim also needs two people to bring it to its fulfillment, which are David and Shlomo. Shlomo is going to be Kishmo Sheh. Shlomo is going to be the Ish HaShalom. David is the one who's going to do Mishpat and Tzedek all of his life. in the two, Malki Tzedek and Avram. Malki Tzedek is the Shalem, he is the Shlomo, and Avram, in this week's Seder, in Vayera, it says that Hashem says to himself, HaMechaseh Anini Avram, am I going to conceal from Avram that which I plan to do? Ki Yedatev, because I know him, Leman Asher Yitzaveh is Bonav, there's Beisar Akrov, he is going to command his children and his family after him to keep the way of Tzedek U'Mishpat. Avram is going to be Tzedek U'Mishpat, that's going to be David. Malki Tzedek is Sholem, peace, that's going to be Shlomo. Just as the two, Avram and Shem, the son of Noah, are the ones that build the spiritual structure of Yerushalayim, so it's also going to take two people who are going to build the physical structure of Yerushalayim, David and Shlomo. And the fact is, we have over here two Pitlach and Tillim. Take a look at these two chapters in Tillim. We're into Tillim this year. We're into Tillim. Shira Malot. The first one, Shira Malot with David, Samachti. I was very happy, but on Limli Beit Hashem they left. We're going to the house of God. On Dot Hayurak Leinu Gesharayat Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim habinuyo ki irshe kubala yabdom Yerushalayim, when he built a city that is brought together. That's where the tribes went up to thank God. Now listen to the word that really describes this parrot. Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim, yishloyu ayavoyah, yehi shalom b'chele shalvo ba'amanotayah, l'man atay v'reyaya dabrano shalom ba'ach, l'man beit Hashem l'kir ha'bach l'ilom. What is this parak talking about? This parak is really talking about Yerushalayim, the city of Shalom. Malki Tzedek melech shalom. This is Shlomo HaMelech. The next parak, Shir HaMalot Ashrei Ko Yirei Hashem ha'olich b'drachav. Remember the word Yirei Hashem, the one who fears God. Yegia kapecho ki tochel, tochel ashrecho v'tovlo, eshtecho ki gechem koriyo v'yarkatei beitecho, banecho ki shtilei zeytim saru v'shulchanecho, hinei kechein yivorach geber, a second time, Yirei Hashem, the one who was God-fearing. Yivorechecho Hashem mitzion, let God bless you from Tzion, re'ei, remember that word, re'ei v'tum Yerushalayim, look, see the good of Yerushalayim, kol yomei chayecho, u're'ei, and see, Banim Levanecho, sons to your son, Shalom Yisrael, peace on Israel. In this perek, you have twice the word Yirah, fear, twice the word Re'ei, see. In Parsha HaAkedah, in the Parsha of the Akedah, which is the end of Parsha Vayera, the words fear and see appear seven times. Har HaMoriah, the Malach stays Avram Avinu's hand at the crucial moment, and he says, "Ata yadati, now I know, ki yirei Elokim ata, you are a God-fearing man." What does Avram call the name of the place? He says, "Bahar Hashem Yeroeh," God will be seen. The whole essence of the Akedah is fear of God, and that God will be seen, reveal himself there. He will see us when we come there. So the word that appears seven times, in no less than seven times in the Akedah, is the idea of fear of God. And fear of God comes to a person who can see God. Yirah, Moriah, Hashem Yireh. All of these are the ideas that Avraham brings to Yerushalayim. Or reverence. These two chapters in Tehillim that we just read, these two chapters in Tehillim talk to us about the two dimensions of Yerushalayim. There is the dimension of Shalom, peace, that's Shalom HaMelech. There is the idea of seeing and fear of God, and by the way, the terms Yireh and Re'u appear seven times when David HaMelech is chosen to be king. David is Yirah and Re'iyah. He was Yifei Einah, he was Admoni, he was a redhead. Yifei Einayim, the Tov Ro'i. Every time Yishai brings in one of his sons, Shmuel says, that's the one. So God has to tell him, no. Ha'odam yir'eh lo einayim, v'alekim yir'eh lo levav. Man sees only with his eyes, but God sees into the heart. The idea of seeing, experiencing, the idea of fear of God. These are words that appear by Avraham. These are words that appear by David. So just as you have two pillars, Avraham and Shem, who set the stage for the ultimate choice of Yerushalayim, you also have two people who are going to carry it out, David and Shlomo. David is going to be the Avraham, and Shlomo is going to be the Melchizedek Melech Shalom. Now, our Prime Minister said very correctly yesterday, in a great speech in the Knesset, he said, there are no two Yerushalayims. There will only be one. And he presented this as the legacy of Yitzhak Rabin, Zichrono Livracha. That his legacy was, you must have, if you didn't hear it, then you must have read about it, that 2 days before Leah Rabin died, he was in New York, he called Leah Rabin, and to find out how she is, and she said to him, she got on the phone and faintly told him, Yitzhak would never ever have considered any kind of compromise of Yerushalayim. Then, of course, the rest of the speech became quotations from the speeches of Yitzhak Rabin that only one Yerushalayim, no two Yerushalayims. So I'm not going to disagree with the Prime Minister. But the fact is that there are two dimensions to Yerushalayim. What the Prime Minister said is that there are no two half Yerushalayims. There are no two halves of Yerushalayim. But there are certainly two dimensions that are expressed in Yerushalayim. And for that matter, there may be two Yerushalayims. As the Gemara says, there's a Yerushalayim Shel Ma'ala that corresponds to the Yerushalayim Shel Ma'ala. There's a divine Yerushalayim, a heavenly Yerushalayim, and there's a Yerushalayim on earth. Is that maybe why both Avraham and Melchizedek talk about God who is Kone Shamayim Va'aretz? There's a heavenly Yerushalayim, and there's a Yerushalayim on earth. Which brings us, of course, to the next stage of the famous Medrash. And, well, maybe we'll later moment, that's going to be the Meshech Chochmah, the famous Medrash that we've learned a number of times. But let's talk about another one of the oddities of Yerushalayim, and that is, let me get my number straight, Yerushalayim in both Hebrew and Aramaic appears in Tanakh. The name appears in Tanakh 667 times. Of the 667 times, Yerushalayim is spelled without a yud between the lamed and the mem. There's of course a yud at the beginning of the name, but between the lamed and the mem at the end, there is no yud, which of course presents us with a very fascinating phenomenon. Here is a word that is vocalized and verbalized as Yerushalayim, but there is no yud there. So we have to know, why is there no yud there? Why is there no yud? Oh, not only do we have to know why there's no yud, we have to know, so why is it said Yerushalayim? Why not call it Jerusalem? We don't call it in English Jerusalem. It's not Jerusalem, it's Jerusalem. And all of those towns that the pilgrims established in the United States, what, there's a Salem, what, Salem in Massachusetts, there was a Salem, where else? North Carolina, South Carolina. Salem? Salem, Oregon. The capital of Oregon is Salem. I would never have known. Salem is the capital of Oregon, yes?
Jericho, New York.
Yes, we know about Jericho, New York, but we happen to be talking about Yerushalayim. If you would have told me Jerusalem Avenue in Nassau County, go to Kastan. But what does Jericho have to do with it? There's a Jerusalem, Pennsylvania, yes?
Salem, Illinois, Abraham Lincoln.
Salem, Illinois. So we have already three Salems. There must be many other Salems. All right. Now, so we're asking, why do we read it Yerushalayim? And why is the Yud, why doesn't the Yud appear? So there's a Tosfos in Masechet Tanit where you have it here. Harshi Yotzo Mimenu Horo Yisrael. The Gemara is asking, the Gemara in Tanit asks, why is Har HaMoriah called Har HaMoriah? So the Gemara gives two answers. One is Har Sheyotzo Mimenu Horo Yisrael, a mountain from which, in a sense, Torah came out to the Jewish people. Instruction comes from God. There's a second opinion in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Har sheyotzo mimenu mora, that the fear of God came upon the nations of the world. They will tremble before Har Habayit. We may elaborate on this in a few minutes. Yesh Mefarshim, the Tosfos says, the Zeh Yerushalayim. Har HaMoriah is really Yerushalayim. Shenikra al-Shem Avraham, Shekira'o Hanashem Yirah. Where does the word Moriah come from? Because Avraham said, on that place, God shall be seen and God shall see. That's what he said in this week's Seder, at the end of the Akedah. V'ha ir ha-yonikra kvar shalein. The city had already been called Shalem, as in Parashat Lech Lecha, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Kedektivu Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. The Nikra Yerushalayim, we will see, this is a medrash that is being quoted by Tosfos. We're going to see the medrash itself. The name Yerushalayim is a composite of two names, the name that was given to it by Avram and the name that was given to it by Malki Tzedek. That's why it's called Yerushalayim. Al-Shem Yir'ah, Al-Shem Shalem. Well, the medrash, we're going to see the medrash in the Meshech Chachma on the other side of the sheet. The medrash says that God said, God gave this city its name. This is the only city on the face of this earth that its name was given to it by none other than the Rebbein from himself. And the Medrash says that Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Im ani korei otah, if I'm going to call the name of this city Yir'eh, as Avraham called it, so Shem, Otom Tzadik Shem, who is a righteous person, Mitra'im, he's going to complain, he's going to be angry. V'imani koreo tar, if I'm going to call the city Shalem, as Malki Tzedek called it, Avraham Adam Tzadik Mitra'im. Avraham, who's a righteous person, is going to be upset. You know, the Rebbeinu also has to keep his constituents happy, especially when we're talking about two great people like Shem ben Noach and Avraham. So the Medrash ends by saying, L'pichach, therefore, ani korei otah, I call the city Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Yir'eh, the name that Avraham gave in the Akedah, Shalem, the name that Malki Tzedek had given it. So now we go back to Tosfos. You know, Tosfos is not going to deal with one other problem. Who gave the name first? Shem, it was Shalem. In Lech Lecha, Shalem, and only in Vayedo it becomes Yireh. So the fact is, why doesn't Shem ben Noach can get upset and say, why do you put Avram's name before mine? Could have called it Shalem Yireh. You think, how long? In 15 minutes, I can have you singing Kalbach Nagunim to Shalem Yireh. Or Lashon Ahava, the Shlem Yeru. Easily. No problem. Except, of course, Chazal say, because in the final analysis, Avram is the bigger tzaddik. I think it means more than that. Malki Tzedek Shem Ben Noach may be making a mistake. He thinks he's going to talk about peace. You can't talk about peace if there is no Yirat Hashem. Avram is the one, didn't he say it in this week's segment? He says it to Avimelech, who has taken Sarah, gives us a whole speech. And you know, you can even begin to feel for Avimelech. You didn't tell me, I didn't know, I did it honestly. What do you want from me? I asked you, you told me she's your sister. She said, you're her brother. I mean, man, you can start crying. This Avimelech, he's been so wrong. He's been so terribly wrong. You know, I've read those psukim. I never really understood it that well. I think I understood a little better now. Avimelech. Elohim says to Avimelech, "B'chalom alayla." Elohim came to Avimelech and he told him in a dream, you're going to die about the woman that you've taken. She's a married woman, and Avimelech didn't touch her. And he turns to God and he sounds like Avram. Are you going to kill a righteous man, O God? He told me, Akosi. And she said, Ochihu, B'tom Levavi u'benikyon kapaya sitizot. It was completely innocent, God Almighty. He sounds like he has a tremendous tainah. And Elohim said to him, B'chalom, I also know that you did it, B'tom Levavcha. And therefore I stopped you from sinning before me. That's why I didn't let you touch her. Now return her, because Avram is a prophet and he will pray for you. Avimelech gets up in the morning and he's very angry with Avram. And he calls Avram and he says, what did you do to me? What did I sin to you that you brought upon me and my whole kingdom this terrible sin? Master, mashallah, Yosef, things that should not be done, or see that nothing you've done with me. Avimelech says to Avram, what did you see fit? That you did this terrible thing. For psukim and psukim now, Avimelech is the righteous one who speaks before God. He's the one who attacks Avram. You did a terrible thing. You know, you could really be on this man's side. You could really be on his side. Except for the next passage. Vayomer Avram. Avram said, "Ki amarti," because I said, "Rak ein yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh." There is no fear of God in this place. V'haraguni al dvar ishti, and they will kill me because of my wife. We never hear Avimelech responding, "What are you talking about? There's no yirat Elokim over here." The silence. Avimelech knows the stark truth as well. There is no Yirat HaLokim. And you know what? They, in their very strange way, yes, they may not want to do a sin with a married woman. So you know what you do? You make her a married woman. V'haraguni al dvar ishti. If there's no Yirat Shemayim, if there's no fear of God, you'll always find a way out of a situation. Or into a situation. Avram has learned firsthand. He's learned from Birsha and Bera, the kings of Sodom and Amorah. He's learned from Avimelech, Ein Yirat Elokim. And therefore, he is the one whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to at the end of the Akedah, now I know that you are Yirei Elokim. Avram is the one who introduces the ingredient of Yirat Hashem, and that comes first. Because if you think that there's going to be shalom or shalem or shalayim or whatever you want without yirah in advance, forget it. Take a look at Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem. Malki Tzedek is the king of peace. He's the prince of peace. Peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. And his children have been engaged in a world war for 26 years. And all of his preaching about peace has accomplished absolutely nothing. He talks about peace. He preaches peace. Peace, peace, peace. And all that's happening all the world, Mishlatzach and Hargitzah. And there, one night, Avram goes out and he crushes evil. Peace comes to the world. Avram introduces an ingredient that without it, there will not be shalom. And therefore, the Rebbe Shem, even Shem, is going to be upset. Avram's name comes first. It's not Shalim Yeru, it has to be Yerushalayim. Yireh before Shalom. If there's Yireh Elohim, then there will be Shalom. You could also ask, well, why does God tamper with Avram's name? It's Yireh. Why couldn't it be Yireh Shalim or Yireh Shalayim? And I could have taught you that in 15 minutes too. So the Mefarshim say that what God did was He took the Aleph and the Hay of Yireh and He turned it into a Vav. What's the numerical value of an Aleph and a Hay? 1 and 5 is 6. So He turned the Yireh into Yeru. But what do we do about that Yud? So Tesis back there on the first side says, Lakach ein onu notnim yud b'Yerushalayim ben lamed l'mem. We don't place a yud in Yerushalayim between the lamed and the mem, because the name that was originally given to it by Shem was Sholem. V'ha'har nikra Moria al Shem Torah. The city is called Yerushalayim. No yud over there. We still have one question left, of course. So why do we read it, Yerushalayim? If I could have taught you Shlem Yeru, if I could have taught you Yireh Shalem, we could all have gotten used to Yerushalayim. Why Yerushalayim? No yud, because Shem didn't put a yud in there. But it's read with a yud. And the reason it's read with a yud, because as we once explained, what does a yud, what does an ayin ending always mean in Hebrew? Yad? How many are two? Yadayim. Ayin, Einayim. Regel, Raglayim. Because there are two Yerushalayims. Not two heads. The Prime Minister was right when he said there are no. He meant that there are no two heads. But there are two Yerushalayims. And the two Yerushalayims, the two faces of Yerushalayim, are the face of Shem and the face of Avram. The face of Shalom and the face of Yirat Hashem. There are dual messages, the two that are one. You can't separate the two. There will not be Shalom without Yirat Elokim. Nothing. But there are two messages that emerge from Yerushalayim. There's a dual meaning to Yerushalayim. There are two pillars of thought that issue forth from Yerushalayim. So why didn't they put the Yud in? So what was the answer? Because originally the name had been given by Malki Tzedek, so he called it Shalem. And I imagine, nobody asked it, but I imagine simply they didn't want the, you know, Malki Tzedek, it's bad enough already that we put his name second. I don't want to start up. I don't want to start over and go put him second and put a Yud into it, you know, so like it's not even recognizable. So the rebellion decided, and that we'll leave the Yud out. We'll leave the Yud out. But we're going to read it, because by reading it, we are saying, without the dimension that was added by Avraham Avinu at the Akedah, there will be no peace. There must be Yirat Elokim. And anybody who's going to tell me that, well, more people have been killed in the name of religion, and for that matter, we have a religious war going on in the world today, I still say it. Ein Yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. They can call themselves whatever name they want. People who kill, Ein Yirat Elokim. Unless it's for self-defense. Alright. On the second side we have the Meshech Chachma. This is one of the classics, one of the greats of the Meshech Chachma. You know, I have this sinking feeling the name was given by Avraham. And then you'll see Ella, about 7-8 lines down, Ella Areni Koreo Tog Yerushalayim, I call the city of Yerushalayim, as both of them called it, Yireh and Shalem, Vaha Inyan. What he wants to explain now is very fascinating. Why indeed was it, so why did Malki Tzedek Shem call it Shalem, and why did Avraham call it Yireh? So he says, because each one of them faced a different challenge in his own time. Shem ben Noach lived at the time of the Mabul. In other words, he lived at a time at which the character of people on the face of this earth had become completely and totally corrupt. Corrupt. It was not a time of great intellectual debate. Is there a God? Isn't there a God? Man was ruled by his animal passions, and therefore that was totally destructive of man's personality. And therefore the task that Shem, the son of Noah, had was to rebuild human character and personality, to turn man into an ethical and a moral being. That's the first thing he had to teach them. And he spent a lifetime devoted to the idea of strengthening, purifying, recreating, rebuilding the ethical and moral stature of the human being. Take a look at the Meshech HaKohen. Shem lived in the generation of the flood. He was in the ark. And he fed and he sustained all the creatures on the face of this earth in that ark. What was most important to him was to correct character traits and deeds that had become completely corrupt. The world had become full of violence. All his teachings were to correct the character and personality of all living beings. And that's what the word Sholem means. Sholem really means the person who is complete, who is wholesome. Shemumoda. That word teaches Shakol Hamin Ha'anoshi. Very beautiful way he says it. He says what it's based on is the word Shalem says that all of mankind is one organism, one unit. We're all part of the same body. And when man can see that we are all one, we all come from one father, we're all created by one God. When I say we don't come from one father, I mean Adam Arisha. Shalem, we are one organism. V'chol echad hu eiver me'evadei ha'adam ha'gadol. And every person is an organ of the organs of the great man, Adam. V'chol echad nitzrach l'chaveiro. Every human being needs his fellow human being. We can't survive alone on the face of this earth. Mushpal mashpia zeh mizeh. We influence and are influenced one from another. We all carry the responsibility for the eternity of mankind. What do you mean? Man waging war with fellow man? Man killing fellow man? Anam? So that was Shem ben Noah's task. He was dealing with a world that had become corrupt, and he has to now correct that world. He has to change their character and personality. Avram had a different problem. Avram hit Palestine mode, the Chachma. Avram was the great mind, the great intellect, who faced the problem of a world that no longer believed in God, had forgotten the existence of God. And out comes Avram from Ur Kasdim, and he brings a message to the world that there is a God. He is the great intellect. He is the great mind. The Lamad Kol Tarkei HaTovim. He learned all of the ways of those who had made terrible mistakes. And he debated with them. The Chokar B'Sichlo, and he investigated with his mind. And he found, Ki Yesh Hashem Echad Mashgiach Al HaKol. There is one God. There's one God whose divine providence is on everything. He did not give over his concern and involvement to the world. There was an ancient belief called Tzaba that said that God created the world and he left it in the hands of various powers on the face of this earth. That's why Avram said at the end of the Akedah, Hashem Yireh, let God be seen. Let him see, let him be seen, let him be experienced, let them know that God is involved intimately with man. And this is free, it says, Ki tsuran charam za'avram, shebirer lo ha'goliyot v'lo gehenem, u'begolot tzarich liyot ha'ashgacha pratit yotel l'kiyomam. It seems the Medrash says that Avram was faced with a choice, that there has to be suffering. Should the suffering be exile, or should the suffering be Gehenna? Which would he choose? He chose Goliath, he chose exile. And why did he choose exile? Because in exile, there is always going to be the experience of divine providence. And he quotes the Gemara, Golu Lebabel, Jews went into exile, Lebabel, Shechina Imahem, the divine presence was with them. Then came up from the Harif. We don't have to discuss this in detail now. And this is a theme that we've talked about on a number of occasions. Wherever Israel was, God was there with them. That's why he says at the end of the Akedah, Asher Ye Omer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yedaeh, Ritzonol Omar, Sheyidgale Elokuto, Bidaot Kol Basar Kvot Hashem Benisim Pratim. He was praying that God should reveal himself to all of mankind by doing miracles. God should be seen, they should experience. Ultimately, Avram is the one who had attempted to get mankind to see God intellectually with their mind's eye. The next and final step would be when man is able to see God with his eyes of basar v'dam, of flesh and blood. That's what Avram wants, because in that way they can see Avram. What we've taught us intellectually, we see in the flesh. V'hinei Yerushalayim b'nuyal shnei dvarim. Yerushalayim is built on two pillars. Haynu l'zachech ha'muskalot. Yerushalayim is the place where intellectual clarity can be accomplished. And intellectual clarity, ikaron b'moach, that's in the mind. U'letakenu l'kashet hamidot she'ikaran b'leiv. And it also comes to correct and beautify man's personality that is in the heart. Intellectual clarity and moral clarity. That's what the purpose of Yerushalayim is going to be. V'zeu b'chlal ma'amaram z'al here, this is an unbelievable, unbelievable thought. The Gemara says in the second Brachot, Lo'olu yikanis odam shnei p'tachim v'achar kach u'palel. A person should go in two doors and then daven. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean going two doors? So the Gemara's response is that you shouldn't stand by the door and daven. You should go into shul at least the distance, that's the width of two doors. You know, so you're not like if you come in and you stand in the back, like you want to make a quick escape, but that's not the way you come into shul. The Meshech Chafin says that there's a profound idea over here. There are two gates, two doors. You have to come in and pray before God with heart and with mind, with intellect and with feeling. Those are the two doors. Those are the two doors that open up man's experience of God. Zehamoach v'halev, mind and heart. Shem ben Noach, the Meshech Chachma says, is heart. Avram Avinu is intellect. Moach and lev, the two pillars, the two doors. V'lachem, therefore, Yerushalayim is referred to in Tehillim, and we say this, Hayom Yom Sheni, the Shabbat, the second day, it is Klilat Yofi, Nesot L'chol Haaretz. It is complete beauty, a joy for the whole earth. V'shom olu shivatim shivtei kol ha'odot l'shem Hashem. We learn that because you know what these psukim describe? Midot and muskalot. Midot means character, personality, and intellect. Shnehem nizdakku v'nitaru b'Yerushalayim. Both of them became purified and cleansed in Yerushalayim. Mesos kol aretz is most probably moral clarity and moral purity that brings joy to a world. And the place where you come, Lahudot L'Shem Hashem, means the intellect, the mind, that gives thanks to God, because I know intellectually that everything comes from Him. So therefore he says, L'Kein Kara Ota Yerushalayim. That's why God called Yerushalayim a double name. Al Shtei HaPu'ulot, the two actions that are accomplished in Yerushalayim. Therefore he's going to go on to say, this is already going to bring us into next week's Sefer. So I'll say it briefly. In next week's Sefer it says that Avraham wants to find a wife for Yitzchak. So he makes his servant Eliezer swear, don't bring a kala from the Kanani amongst whom I live. Go back to my father's house to Haran. Get a girl there. So the Mepharshim want to know, what's the big yichus of Avraham's family in Haran? They were also idolaters. Lavan and Betuel were idolaters, so what's the difference? Mali Aveda Zorah there and Mali Aveda Zorah here. What's the great accomplishment of bringing a kala for Yitzchak from there? So he quotes the Drosh HaZaran. The Drosh HaZaran says, he knew that intellectually, he's going to have to teach whatever kala it is. He's going to have to learn the Torah of Avraham and the house of Avraham and Yitzchak. Because intellect is not something that's carried over into the genes. But midas, that's carried over in the genes. Haran, where Avraham came from, is the place where Shem ben Noach had done his most intensive work to recreate the moral fiber of beings. He says, there you can find a girl with midas totals. You're worried about her hashgafas, we'll take care of her over here. And we're not concerned about it because hashgafas don't go over, are not transmitted through the genes. And that's how the Ran explains that you can't have a girl, a Kanani, because the Kananim were mushchat, they were corrupt in midos. But there you can find Hashem and Eidala. I was going to say Hashem Yiddish and Eidala, but it's not a Yiddish and Eidala yet. A Yiddish will make her a Yiddish. When she comes to the tent of Sarah, she's going to become a Yiddish and Eidala. Yerushalayim, two pillars upon which not only Yahdut but the world stands. It stands on Yir'eh, Yir'at Hashem, and Yir'at Hashem, and on Shalom, Shleimut of the human being. There must be Yir'eh, one, there must be Yir'at Elokim before there can be Shalom or Shalem. Shleimut will never come without Yir'at Hashem. Rak Ein Yir'at Elokim Amakazeh. Avraham Avinu is the one that was able to complete the name of Yerushalayim, because he was the one who in last week's Seder and this week's Seder, he comes face to face with evil and he makes his choice. And the choice is such that under no circumstances is he going to be in the slightest ever indebted. You get something from somebody, you owe something to them. That's a serious problem. He won't take anything. So that the totality of Yerushalayim, the name, no Yud, because Malki Tzedek didn't put in a Yud, but we say with Yud because we recognize the two dimensions of Yerushalayim.